Hallelujah. What a powerful presence of God we feel in this house today. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, we're turning to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. As you're turning there again, I want to give honor unto Pastor Cowan and his family. Amen. Honor Elder Worth as well, Sister Worth, any ministers in the house as well. I honor you. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah. Can we just wait on the Lord again for a moment? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Mighty God. Hallelujah. We're going to the chapter 16, a very familiar text. Hallelujah. Going to start in verse 22. And this is where Paul and Silas are beaten and jailed. It says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." It's strange how they beat them, whipped them, and then charged the jailer to keep them safely. Wow. 24 says, "Who, having received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them." Amen. I was not planning on preaching this tonight. I told my wife as she brought me here early and told my son earlier as well. I said I wasn't even finished with this message, to be honest with you. But I want to be transparent with you. Another word for deliverance is rescue. And through my travels and through my experiences in different churches I have gone to, I've realized this, that deliverance is not only for the lost. Rescuing is not only for those who have yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost. We all in some form or some fashion were in a place where we were needing rescuing. Sin is the ultimate chains of bondage. I think we can all agree on that, but they're not the only chains. Hear me tonight. We deal with attacks from the enemy. We deal with attacks from our own imaginations. That's why the Bible says cast out thine own imaginations. Amen. And I believe that hell has tried to convince me that I'm not needed here. I'm just being as transparent as I can. That this church is issue free. That it's a perfect church. That nothing I could preach can help you. Nothing I can say will help elevate your faith and build faith in you or hope, but I would be more of a hindrance if I were to stay here and try to preach anything that God would have me preach. From the first night of showing up here Saturday, the first night walking or driving into the city limits, I was faced with a combative spirit. Not in the church grounds, please don't take it that way. But it was a combative spirit. And even though I showed the love of God, they had a sense, Pastor, of stay away. Leave me alone. And as I kind of shrugged it off and we entered into the elevator, My wife and son know exactly now what I'm talking about. I kind of shrugged it off as, well, you know, you give a response to someone and they don't respond back. If you say, hey, how are you? They don't say nothing back. I'm like, well, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. Well, then, how are you doing? Oh, I'm great. Kind of shrugging it off in a bit. But as I tried to lay down, and I typically don't take a nap, but I felt impelled to today, I could not sleep. I knew I for certain what I was going to preach. But God said, nope, not tonight. You know, we do not serve a God of confusion. We don't. We don't serve a God of confusion. If your pastor felt compelled to call me, to have me here, then I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a reason. And God said that there are those in this house who are needing a breakthrough. I believe that, and you need to receive that. You're needing a breakthrough, and you will need to break out of the prison that is keeping you bound. If there's anything I'm certain of tonight, you better hear me tonight, that God is speaking to someone tonight to let you know it's time to come out of your prison. It's time to take off the chains that I did not put on you. And it's time for your breakthrough. I'm here to tell you it's time to activate your deliverance. It is so simple. Amen. I just want to take a little bit of time and talk to you about the activation of your deliverance. How many believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom? Well, am I talking to myself tonight? Who here believes where the Spirit of God, where it lingers, there's a liberty, there's a freedom? Come on, let's lift our hands towards heaven. Let's ask God to move. Pastor, will you pray over this service?
Hallelujah. Savior, would you help us here tonight? God, I am praying for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, Lord, in this place. For the power of your Spirit to come through, anoint your servant to speak the very words that we need to hear. God, I'm asking you to help our spirit charge us tonight, and we'll lift you up and bless your name in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Can you clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're going to help me preach, you may be seated. Please stick with me. I don't know how long this will be. I just want to follow the leading of God. And when he says, I'll stop. Amen. But in verse 16, we see where Paul and Silas were headed to a prayer meeting. We see where they were on their way, but also they were being followed by a possessed woman, where she was shouting out about how they were godly men, men that were brought by God. And for days and days, she followed Paul and Silas until Paul finally had enough. You know, the enemy, he knows when you are a man of God. He knows when you have the right spirit within you. Spirits can detect that, and sometimes when it seems like they are for you, there's an agenda behind it. I believe there is a difference between agenda and purpose. Agenda is checking off the box and is what is for you, but a purpose is divine. Amen? But as she continued to follow Paul and Silas, Paul casted out the spirit. And in verse 18, we see that Satan wanted others to think she was attached to those men of God. We see in those moments that there was an agenda by others. It shows us that when her masters had seen she was no longer able to make money for them, that they could not profit from her. Amen. So in 20 and 21, we see where they took Paul and they took Silas to the magistrate and accused them of not being keeping peace, in the city. They were causing trouble and teaching things that they were not accustomed to. Well, that'll preach on its own. So what did they do? They stripped off their clothes. They shamed them. They beat them. They laid stripes upon them, and then they threw them in prison. But I want to linger here for a moment. I want you to understand that we cannot take the mentality of growing up, going to Sunday school and hearing stories. And I want you to truly understand what Paul and Silas went through. Paul and Silas, you see, they weren't just given a smack on the wrist. See, they weren't just whipped with a switch or a belt. But back then in that culture, you have to understand that even today, our punishment, our capital punishment is much, much different than other countries. There are still places to where if you were to steal, they would cut off your hand. Amen. There are places still that whenever you are stoned, it is not where it's just a large gathering and they're throwing pebbles at you. You have to understand that when you are accused of something, they dig a hole. They bury you from waist deeper, a little bit higher, and they surround you and they hurl rocks at you until you are no longer breathing. You have to realize this does not happen suddenly, but sometimes it can take quite a while for you to die from this. Imagine the pound that your body would take. Imagine being beheaded. It is not like we think of where there's a guillotine you're marched up to and they pull a rope and suddenly your head is gone. I know this is a little graphic, but just stick with me for a moment. But I've seen the videos of different people who profess their faith in God and where men stood behind them and would yank their hair or whatever was on their head and pull their head back and with a rusty blade start to saw away at the throat. It's not just a clean chop. They're not using a sharp axe. They're literally sawing away, and you can watch this gruesome act just unfold. And there was one place where someone showed me where someone was being beheaded at the time. And as they began to tear into their flesh, they could not get the head severed, so they started hacking away at the spine, I guess is what you would call it, at their neck. And you would hear that blade ting, ting, ting across the spine. It would send chills up you and make some of you nauseous. The reason why I'm going into such graphic detail is because I want you to understand what Paul and Silas truly went through. It wasn't just a slap in the face or a pluck of a beard or hair, but they wanted to shame them. They wanted to beat them. And I can just imagine that they beat them senseless. They beat them maybe even beyond recognition and then laid the whip to them and laid stripes on them before they threw them in prison. Even though there's no evidence of them doing wrong, they were treated as criminals and not preachers of the word. When living for God, you have to understand there's going to be times that opposition comes against you all due to you are doing the right thing, not because you're doing the wrong thing. Because you're doing and living right is the reason the enemy will try to bring opposition your way, to try to discourage you, to try to let doubt seep into your mind and keep you down. The enemy does not fight what does not threaten him. Think about that. He will not come against you if you do not threaten him. Opposition from hell only comes when you are moving towards God and away from the world and away from hell. Most occurrences of opposition is not because you're doing wrong, but in most instances, it's confirmation of what you are doing right. Right will always offend the enemy to come against you. When you stand for what is right, expect pushback. You better expect pushback. It's going to happen from the world. It's going to happen from hell. But we have to realize that greater is he that is within us than he that is within this world. Amen? Do you believe that tonight?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Paul and Silas, they were faced with adversity, not because, again, they were wrong. Whether they wanted to get hell's attention or not, they shook that tree. And all they did to receive this punishment was set a young girl free. The battle to bring spiritual freedom to the people intensified, so Satan counterattacked. He attacked with a demon-possessed girl. He lost Lydia, so having lost a female, he attacked with another female. Paul and Silas, though they were thrown in the prison, they knew how to activate deliverance. I believe that today. They did not murmur and complain. They did not file a wrong grievance against the town or the magistrates. They didn't blame each other to say, why did you say this or why didn't you do that? They didn't find fault in each other. But I believe because they knew God, the God they served, they knew the steps to activate their deliverance. The Bible told us they prayed and sang praises unto our God. They prayed and they sang praises unto our God. All it took was a little prayer meeting and praise to get heaven's attention that night. Some people pray, but they don't praise. Some people praise, Pastor, but they don't pray. Am I preaching to anybody in the house tonight? Hear me though, but when you allow the two to combine, prayer touches heaven and praise can shift the atmosphere. And at midnight, which is the darkest hour, that is where deliverance was activated. Sometimes it's in our darkest moments, church. It's in the moments where we think that we are not getting anywhere, that we are being attacked from all sides, is when God expects us to activate deliverance. Hallelujah. Look at this for a moment. We're going to get there. But look at this for a moment. Verse 25. Verse 25 tells us, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The first component was what? Prayer. They prayed. I've noticed the young us, I'm going to conclude myself in this, us younger generation. Is that okay? Amen. Us younger generation, and I'm not pointing fingers, guys, just bear with me here, but us younger generation, we love that feel-good moment. We love that bounce, right? Amen. We love the shout. We love the song. We love the beat. We love to get loud for God. We love to shout out the name of Jesus and sweat. My son was over here before I got on the platform. He sat down. He showed me his pants. His sweat came through his pants. He was jumping for so long. I don't know how he does it. I'd have done passed out. But we love the praise. We don't care about acting a fool for God. But where's the prayer life? Where is the praying it down before the praising it down? I'm not getting on to anybody. Just hear me. Where is the place to where we get to where we say, okay, God, this can't be an ordinary service. I didn't take Sunday to get dressed in my finest, to show up to church, to just give a little twirl, to get a feel-good moment, to walk out and meet the driveway devils back outside. Am I talking to anybody tonight? But I've got to get to a place to where I hit my knees fervently and say, hey, God, we're going to have a little one-on-one time for a moment, because I got to reach heaven, because there's been some things that I've been battling, and I may look the part, I may sound the part, I may have a good hop and a dance, but I need some deliverance from some things. Come on, it does. I'm stepping on hell's toes right now. Hell wants you to leave here the same way you entered. But I'm here to tell you, every single time you walk in those doors, you need to ask God, how else can you change me? How else can I draw closer? Come on, I can't stay in a prison of complacency, of a mediocre service. But every time, I don't need a camp meeting to have a mighty move of God. I don't need evangelists to walk through the doors to pump me up to reach heaven's throne. But all I need to do is bend a knee and spend a little time in a talk with Jesus. That's what makes it right. The first component is prayer. It's prayer. Why do you think we have pre-service prayer? It's not just a routine. It's not just an obligation. It's a ride to reach heaven right there, right in that moment. We don't need to wait for altar calls to touch God. I told you this morning, I'm preaching to me too. I'm so tired, Elder Worth, of coming to church and just having a moment with God. And it's just a routine of saying the same things over and over again instead of being fresh words. And it's pricked my heart so bad that when I started get praying, I say, God, I need you to understand that every word that comes out of my mouth, don't let it be routine. Don't let it be through memorization. I don't want to quote just scriptures, but I need an intimate moment with you before the first chord is struck, before the first verse is sung. God, I need to reach you. I need you, God. I want to talk with you, not just in these four walls, but in my home, in my bedroom, in my car on the way to work. Oh, even when I reach, the restaurant. Brother Micah, there's got to be a purpose in our prayer. There's got to be that every time we wake up and we start heading to work, or ladies, when we start heading to a grocery store, wherever we're heading, God, I need you to understand that I love you so much. I want to stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost, that I reach somebody. You give me sensitive to where I can get a boldness to reach and say, hey, I don't know who you are, but I need you to know Jesus loves you. And there's something going on down at New Life Tabernacle that God's wanting you to tap into. Every time you pray, there's got to be purpose behind it. God, deliver us from complacency. Deliver us from our own wants. Deliver me from my own wants. Deliver me from my flesh, oh God. God, I got to please you. I've got to work for you. Whether you want to hear it tonight or not, listen to this man of God. We are in prison and we've got to break out. We've got to break out of prison. You want revival? You've got to work and pursue for revival. You want to see mighty move of God? You've got to work for it. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. Young men, I don't know your prayer lives. And I'm not beating up on the young men. You others, you're going to get your turn in a minute, God said. But young men, hear me tonight. God is trying to get your attention to say, hey, I enjoy your humbleness and how you dance. I'm glad it's not like everyone else's dance. I'm glad it's through humility, and worship is through spirit and in truth. But when's the last time you just had an intimate talk with me? Not just at church, but at home. When's the last time you just wanted to spend a little time with me? When? Because when the time comes, young men, and you're going to need God to move in a situation, you want him to realize who you are. You want him to recognize your voice. He's got to know your voice. Oh, come on, we like the feel of lifting up our voice in song, but we got to listen for the still small voice as well. I'm not trying to take the headwind away from you. Please don't take it that way. I just need you to understand God is trying to get the attention of the church body. Come on, we can't just rely on our elders of yesterday. We can't do it. It's going to take you. You are not the next generation. You're the now generation. The time is now to step up. The time is now to become prayer warriors. The time is now. You're the now generation. Before the jail ever shook, before the shackles ever fell away, Paul and Silas, before they ever sang one song, they prayed. Am I wrong? They got together. That's what the word tells us. They got together and said, hey, come on, we're going to have a prayer meeting right here. I don't care that we're in the innermost part of the prison, and we're going to get to that in a moment, but we've got to pray. We've got to seek heaven. We got to get God's attention because it's going to activate the deliverance that we're needing. They spoke to God before the fire of heaven ever fell. The day on Pentecost, what did they do? They prayed. They prayed. It's all in the Word. It's right here. They prayed before deliverance and freedom came. Your deliverance has to equate prayer above anything else. Oh, come on, let's lift our voices to God right now. Come on, let's activate that prayer right now. Come on, don't pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray. You pray for real right now. God, I need revelation of what you're trying to say tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up our voices. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We've got to understand that prayer must first come before our deliverance. It's to say, God, I can't do this on my own. Like we said this morning, it's going to take adding in the equation of you. My money can't help me. My job can't help me. My family can't help me. My social status can't help me. I can't Google the solution. I can't fix the impossible situation. It's got to come through you. And the only way that happens is through your talk with God. It's your prayer. Prayer is not you talking to yourself. It's tapping into a supernatural element with God for Him to align you with His will. Amen? Amen. Prayer positions you from being powerless to powerful. I'm going to say that again. Prayer will position you from being powerless to powerful. That's why hell will do everything it can to distract you from prayer. Because you will have enough power to hold the weapon after prayer. You'll be able to grab a hold of the weapon of praise. You can't have the... You better hear it. You can't hold the weapon of praise until you're powerful enough through prayer. It ain't patty cake with God. When you start lifting the weights of prayer by hitting your knees and lifting your hand, that's when your enemy starts to tremble. That's when you turn the heads of both heaven and hell. Church, we got to get back to powerful praying to strengthen the weapon of praise. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. So they prayed, and then they sang praises. I want to highlight that they sing praises before the jailbreak. They didn't pray and an earthquake came and the prison doors opened. They prayed. Then they praised. Then the earthquake happened. Then the cell doors began to open. I know this is so elementary, but God said this is the word for tonight. They prayed. They praised and thanked God for the victory before the victory. They thanked God for the liberty before they got the liberty. They thanked God for the freedom before they received the freedom. It's an activation of your praise is through your faith to say, hey, I know that I am still bound. My feet are still in stocks. Chains are still around me. And I'm beaten and I'm sore. But I'm still, I got to give God some praise because God is still so good. Oh, but you got a black eye. Oh, but my God is still good. As long as there's still air in my lungs, I've got a way to breathe. I've got a way to shout. I got to give Him praise. I don't care that I'm going through it. He's still good. He's still good. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. The Bible said that their feet were in stocks. Now, what I see as stocks, and Pastor can correct me if I'm wrong. What I see as stocks is something that is keeping your feet bound. right? In stocks. That's where the enemy messed up. Because you don't need legs for deliverance. You don't need hands for deliverance. You can clap all day long. You can stomp all, you can twirl all day long. That won't deliver you. But they didn't muzzle their mouths. Say it again, Pastor. Can the redeemed of the Lord say so tonight? It's time to get out of prison. Are you ready for the cell doors to open? Come on, he don't need your clap. It says, clap your hands, all ye people, and do what? And what? Open your mouth wide and shout. You want to confuse the enemy? You do it by not staying quiet in your crisis. You want to confuse the enemy? What are they doing shouting for victory in a prison? What are they doing after we had them locked up? We convinced the magistrates. We got the possessed woman to do what she needed to. Hell, what's going on? Why are they shouting? Come on, it confuses the enemy that even in your lowest point at midnight, in your darkest hour, you can still open your mouth and give God glory. It confuses the enemy. Some of you are getting it. Can we take a, you need to take a moment and start confusing your enemy right now. You'll never have revival. You'll never add souls to a kingdom. You don't have enough parking spaces. The devil is a liar. Oh, there's a spirit of don't talk to me. The devil is a liar. Come on, your shout is your statement. It's an anthem. It's to tell the devil, you will not win. You will not have control over me. You will not control my mind. You won't control my finances. You won't control my family. You won't control my town. You won't control this church. When you open your mouth in the line of fire of your trials, you open your mouth in the waves of uncertainty, you're declaring victory and hell is confused. Same goes with David and Goliath. The same thing happened. Think about it. Again, don't look at some Sunday school story of a little child this tall. But still, coming out unequipped in warfare, in common warfare. He says, hey, I don't care about your common. I'm coming with glory. I'm coming with heaven's army. I'm coming with uncommon warfare. I'm gonna come against you. You know how he confused Goliath and made him angry? It's because he insulted him. He stood boldly before Goliath and said, oh, you uncircumcised Philistine. He talked down to someone who was above him in stature. We think that our issues and our jail cells are so much taller than we are. We want to complain about the cell we're in, or better yet, We want to stay comfortable in the cell we're in, and we'd rather talk about the cell than our God. But through our prayer, our fervent prayer, and then aligned and combined to activate the deliverance with our praise, these are the moments that hell trembles over, because even through your pain, you've learned to praise God. Even while you're bound, you still learn to have a shout of triumph. Even through your hurt and pain and wounds. I hit it right there. Your wounds. There's prisons right there. Your wounds cannot keep you in your prison unless you allow them to. If you're going through battles and you feel like defeat is around the corner, you're ready to wave the white flag because you're just getting too weary and you're tired of fighting past the wounds. Some of us, I'll include myself, some of us will hold on to wounds because once they're gone, we don't know what's going to replace them. We don't know what's going to feel them, when in reality we do if we'll just trust the word of God. Come on, he'll take the wounds and let them recover, and then he'll give you peace. Then he'll give you joy, unspeakable and full of glory again. It'll take the bitterness and bitterness. There's another prison. Bitterness. We got to stop waiting for the victory to get deliverance. It doesn't work that way. 2 + 2 = 4. It always will be. Prayer plus praise equals deliverance. Prayers plus praise equals deliverance. And I'm not talking patty cake prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, or hey, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. No, I'm talking real prayers. Quit trying to quote scriptures every single time you come to the house of God, and get real with God in your prayer. Get real with him. Who cares what it sounds like? Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks your prayers sound like. What matters is God. I don't care if you're ridiculous. You think that you just can't say the words right, or man, I wish I could pray like my pastor or my pastor's wife. No. That's not genuine. God is looking for some realness from some young men today for their prayer. All right. All right, so now we're going to hit the other side. And I want everyone in this building to understand, I am not directing anything to you. Please do not take it that way. I'm just trying to give you the best way that I can what God has given me. But I've been to too many churches to where my elders can pray it down like there's no tomorrow. But when it comes to praise, they're doing what you're doing right now. I've seen men in my own church. My own church. I won't talk about your church. I'll talk about mine for a minute. I've seen them in my own church have lived for God all their lives. Seen miraculous things, told me stories of how they've seen people pave the ways, the miracles they've seen, the deliverance that they've watched. But when it comes to giving God praise, well, hopefully he'll get to the word soon. I don't like that song. Well, come on, the word's supposed to prick us, amen. I'm just being honest. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. It's too loud. It's not loud enough. Well, they don't say it's not loud enough. Not for apostolic church. But you get that. Give me that old time religion. Give me that. Oh, you'll see that foot. Give me that. Oh. Then you'll see a little bounce. Then the next thing you know, then they'll be clapping. If you want that old time religion, that religion is still the same through the new songs too. We're still talking about the same God. Are we not? But elders, hear me. If you are in a prison of non-praise, these young men need to see your praise. I have watched people. My mother is 84 years old, and I admire her because through different conferences that I've watched her at, I've watched people that are considered mighty men of God walk up to her in the middle of service as she's sitting there praising and said, "Ma'am, I don't know who you are, but I needed to introduce myself because I've never seen praise like yours. I've never seen worship. It doesn't take jumping up and down. It doesn't take running around a sanctuary to give God glory. Some I've seen that are not physically able can give more praise than I've ever seen young people give when they make up their mind to do it." And God is saying to the elders, it's time to show some young men that it's not about the beat of a drum, it's not about the keys on the organ or piano, but it's about unadulterated, unfiltered praise. Let me join in with you for a moment. Let me show you how these old bones work. We're still needing you to give God praise. Young people, do you believe that today? Are you still needing your elders to show and lead the way? Are you still wanting them to show by example? Let them know they're wanted. Let them know they're needed. I'm going to be honest. I watched and I felt it. I could feel it as I was standing here. I call it my two-step. I 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And I felt that I could just feel just anointing and worship coming from over this area. And I start looking and I see Elder Worth and he's worshiping with all his might. And I wanted to tap into it. So I said, "Will you worship with me? Because this is feeling good. Whatever's all over you, I got to have a little bit of it." And then I asked him, "Will you march around the church? I can't run right now because I got a bum knee. But will you march around the church? I'll follow you. I want to get in that glory. I call it the glory. I want to get a hold of that. I want to tap into it." Come on, you don't have to go 90 miles an hour to give God everything you have. Don't give up on your worship, elders, because you don't do it like you used to do it. As long as it is with everything you have, that's all God requires. It's all He requires. You know why I'm talking like this? It's not to disrespect my elders. I love my elders. I know that they've gone through things that I've never gone through. They've been able to see things that I've never seen. I even remember as a small child, what happened to the praise, ladies, to where you shouted it down so hard, your bobby pins were flying everywhere. I remember that, Pastor. What happened, men? Where we ran so hard and we shouted so long through our sacrifice of praise to where we were slain in the spirit. When's the last time somebody left here drunk in the Holy Ghost? Come on, I'm not talking just about Augusta. I'm talking about the church body and whole. Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that conference. I'm waiting for that just that right man of God that's so... Then who are you doing it for? You want to know what this world is looking for? They're looking for that unadulterated, unfiltered praise and prayer. See, I remember as a kid going in high school, a young man, his name was Adam Tebow, and I brought him to church. He was the first person I ever brought to church, and it was in high school. God forgive me for waiting that long. But I could tell there were some things going on in his life. And I said, hey, you can go to church with me if you want to. He said, okay. We walk in the foyer, and you hear them praying it down. And I'm talking, you thought it was camp meeting. I mean, the lights were down low like they were here. Holy Ghost was moving. You probably could even see the glass rattling. And it was only 40 to 50 people. That's it. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was moving, but it was, the uncommon was common. Every time I walked through the doors, that's what I was to expect. That's what I experienced. God is asking you tonight, where did it go? Where did it go? Again, I'm not angry, but God is doing this. Hey, where's it at? Do you really want revival? Where's it at? Where's your communication with me? Why are you still locked in that prison? I've got the key. Why won't you let me unlock the door? Is this okay? Is this okay? But as I brought that young man in, he says, what is going on in there? Are they chanting? I said, no, they're praying. We believe in praying out loud, and I tried to explain it. I said, don't worry. Nobody's going to bite you. Nobody's going to hit you. Nothing like that. Just come in. We'll just sit down. So we sat down, and God started moving. He's only been in one church service in his life. One church service, a Baptist church. And as he walks in, and the preacher is preaching, and it wasn't even on deliverance, it wasn't on salvation, it wasn't even on the Holy Ghost. I can't even tell you what it was on. And I'm thinking, my Lord, this man's never coming back to church with me again. And as he said, I feel the Holy Ghost moving, and somebody is wanting to pray. There's some things in their life that just isn't right with him. If you want to come to an altar and pray, you come down here. There's no certain way to pray. You just talk to God as if he's your best friend. And I sit there with my head down and my arms crossed like this. And I open my eyes and I realize he's not there. He's already at the altar. God, forgiven me. Please, God, forgive me for not inviting him to an altar. And I ran down there where he was at, and as tears were flowing down his face, he couldn't even stand because he's never experienced the power of God like that before. And his knees were wobbly, and we're all holding him up. And the next thing you know, he's speaking in a heavenly language that he didn't know nothing about. That's the God that is saying, hey, where's my glory? Where's it at? Where's my communion? Where's my praise? Where's my worship at? But whenever you get together, when you get together, not with agenda, but with purpose, when you can get together and say, okay, we've got to reach the throne room, because I'm here to tell you, there's no such thing as throwaway service. Devil, you get mad if you want to. They're going to hear it. There's no such thing as throwaway service. You don't know who's going to walk in these doors. That's another reason we come to pre-service prayer and we reach the throne room of heaven. You don't know who's driving by, who's ready to take their life and says, well, wait a minute, there's something different about this building. I'm hearing some praises. Let me go in. You know why? Because you prayed it down before you praised it up. You prayed it down before you praised it up. Where's your worship leaders at? Worship leaders, come forward, please. Right here. I see my brother back here. Who else is a worship leader? And everybody else that is a singer or musician, just stand. But my praise leaders, my worshipers. Let me tell y'all something. He can fix me later if he needs to, okay? Your worship down here matters more than it does up here. They'll never follow you up here if they don't see you do it down here. You understand? It's got to be in spirit and truth. And every time, here's the other thing. And I know this for a fact. Don't get so busy with the agendas and the checkoffs during pre-service prayer. Well, I've got to go fix this. I've got to go talk to sound. I've got to go do media. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. I've got to where you don't get your prayer in because your elders are watching that. I'm telling you, is it not important to you, elders? It's important to you that you see these men who are trying to lead you in worship to make sure they're reaching heaven first, right? It matters because it takes the anointing, and we're going to talk more about the anointing next week. But I'm telling you, it takes the anointing of God to allow you. They're not cheerleaders. They're not here to cheer. They should not push and play tug of war with you. You should be wanting to worship God. You should be wanting to give a shout of praise. You should be wanting to run around the house of God. You should want to be leaping before the Lord. You should be wanting to do a twirl for the Lord like David has done. You should want to. But worship leaders, hear me. Pray it down before you praise it up. It matters. Brother, you got a powerful anointing on you that God is ready to break loose like you've never seen before. Don't you listen to a lie from hell telling you you don't make a difference because you do. Brother, you are value. You are gold in God's eyes. I'm telling you. No longer will I hold back. No longer will I stay in my cell. No longer will I allow God to keep the key from entering the hall. I'm ready to break out. I'm ready to break out so I can break through. I'm ready to break out so I can break through. It's time to activate some deliverance in the house tonight. Come on, we shout now. Come on, I'm still hurting. Shout now. I'm still sick. Shout now. I'm still broke. Shout now. I'm still bound. Shout now. I'm still ill. Shout now. Shout now. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord! Come on, I know you've been battling it for years, but it's time to pray and then praise. Young people, you gotta pray. Elders, we need your praise. I know the music ain't like it used to be, but praise God and not the music. You gotta praise after the prayer. We should be ashamed. Hear me tonight. We should be ashamed if a new convert outshouts us. We've been doing it for years. We can't let them outshout us. We can't let them outshout us. I don't care how crazy it looks. I don't care what I gotta do, but I can't let them outshout me. Come on, that's it. You're tapping into it now. Break out! Break out! I'm so sick of the devil. You breaking out right now, y'all go ahead and continue. But God's still talking. Is that okay? Can I continue? God's still talking. I got a little exercise for you. If you're not standing, forgive me, just stand for just 10 seconds. You'll understand. If you need to sit back down, I understand. But I want everyone that is near their pew, I want you to turn around and look at your pew. Look at your pew. Look at where you sit. That is a prison if you allow it to become one. God never meant for you to stay back here. And I know he can touch you from back there as well as up here. But like I said, it's response that matters. It's the activation of faith and deliverance that matters. Come on, if the children of Israel, even though Pharaoh let them go, if they didn't do this, they wouldn't have got to the promised land, but they put one foot in front of the other. They prayed for so many years, and then when it, you want to know why they call it a pew? Because if you stay in it long enough, it stinks. It's pew. It's nasty. It stinks. And if you're not careful, you'll die. You'll spiritually decay in the prison of a pew. Don't die in the prison known as a pew. Nothing is going wrong in my life. Yes, it is. If you stay where you're at. There's something wrong with that. Oh. God is asking someone tonight, what did I do to offend you to where you will not get out of the prison of the pew? Why are you scared that others are going to look at you when you've sat so long in that prison? I'm here to tell you, God is in the repeating business. If he did it before, if he did it for me, if he did it for these here right now, he'll do it again for you. It's now. I said it many times. I mean, it just gave me revelation. Now. Now. You know what happens when you activate now? Spell it backwards. What is it? You do what? You won. That means you win. When you activate now, you win. You don't wait for later. You go now. You go now so you can win the victory. You go now. You shout now to get out of the prison. It's now so I can be the winner. So I know that I won. It's now. It's now. I'm almost done. Don't get mad at me, please. Get mad at God. He's still telling me to go. But I'm going to go back to verse 25 for a minute. Here's another thing that I got revelation on that God showed me. In verse 25, it says, and at midnight, the darkest hour, Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang, right, unto God. And the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard him. But my question is this. If they were thrown in the innermost part of, The innermost part of the prison, you're going to know why I'm smiling, is the deepest and darkest hole that you can find in a prison, so nobody can hear you scream. Nobody can hear your complaints. Nobody can see you. So you know what that tells me, Brother Micah? It tells me that whenever they were in the innermost, deepest parts of their life, beaten, half senseless, half dead, and whipped, and shamed with their clothes torn off of them, you know what it tells me, Elder? It tells me that they didn't say, I will sing praises to our... They were loud! Lord, you are good! And your mercy, it endureth forever! Hold your peace, prisoner! Oh, no! I serve a mighty God! Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, He's one. Oh, you've got to keep it down or you're going to get some repercussions. Oh, no, I've got to get loud now. I'm not waiting till you break me out of here. He's going to break me out and I'm going to break through. Don't you tell me they had neighbors. No. They were in the deepest, darkest place, and they were shouting their praises unto God. We've got to get past this and get to here. We got to get here every single service. How does that equate to me, Brother Ward? I'm glad you asked. If you're sitting next to somebody that isn't going to get shout and is not going to get loud with you, you better go find somebody that will. It's time to get loud. It's time for now. It's time for prayer. It's time for praise. It's time to rip the roof off of this thing. Now! Somebody shout now! All right, last part. Last part, I promise. This is it. All of those. If you're needing freedom tonight, if I don't care if it's depression, I don't care if it's doubt, God, you're not going to grow this church. If hell's been fighting you, if your family's been fighting, I don't care what it is. If you're dealing with prison and it's time for to break out, now I want you to get to this altar ASAP. Don't you wait. And don't you be afraid of what others are going to think of you. Come on, it's like I said, deliverance is not for the sinner. It's for the saint too. Because you know what? I need it. I don't care if it's an ailment in your body. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's I'm shy. I don't care if it's because I'm reserved. I don't care what it is. It's the time is now. All right. Hold on. We're going to get there. I know you're raring to go now. I get it. I get it. I am too. So here's the last mistake the enemy made. Three words. Paul and Silas. He put them together. Because where two or three are gathered in his name. Where two or three, and it looks like there's more than just two or three in the house tonight. There should be nothing stopping us tonight. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray first. And here's the thing, just understand me tonight. I've heard it from a great man of God before. Don't start speaking in tongues. We hide behind the tongues. Is that truth? We hide behind the tongues sometimes. Because we don't want to face the reflection of defeat of what's really what we have to face. But you have to remember, it's not us facing it, it's God. He's the deliverer, not you. So now I want you to join up with some people and I want you to start praying for what you need deliverance from out loud. You start praying, hey God, it's real time now. I'm right here. You talk to him like he's your best friend. No thou arts and shout bees. No, you pray real. You pray as if you're talking to me. It's time to pray and get real with God. Come on, no, there shouldn't be one person by themselves up here. Not one person should be by themselves. Come on. Come on, brother, come up here with them. Come on. If he can't stand long, one of you young men need to be with him. Come on, it's time to pray it down. It's time to shake heaven and scare hell. God, this is what I've been facing. This is what I've been dealing with. God, I'm ready to get honest about it. I'm ready to get real about it now. I've been dealing with depression, God. I've been dealing with anxiety, God. I've been dealing with some oppositions that are coming against me that says that I don't belong here, God, in Augusta. God, I've got an enemy that's coming against me like a flood. He's coming against me and saying I don't have the anointing. God, the enemy is coming against me and saying that I don't have boldness in the Holy Ghost. He's coming against me telling me that I am not going to be used, that I'm worthless in this state. He's telling me that he's going to put roadblocks to everywhere I go. God, when I get home, he puts a spirit of defeat in my mind. God, I need you to deliver me from my prison tonight. God, I need deliverance. God, I'm ready to come out of my prison. I'm ready to break out, Lord, and break through. I'm ready. I'm ready. God, I'm ready to heal. I'm ready for bitterness to be gone. God, I'm ready for hurt to be dismayed, to just be taken out. God, I'm ready to be filled with joy again. I'm ready to be filled with confidence again. I can't do it on my own, God. I can't do it on my own, God. It's going to take you. It's going to take you. It's going to take you. I've got to believe what I hear. I've got to believe what I testify. I got to believe what I tell others. I got to believe it's for me. I got to believe, Lord, it's time for me to come out of my prison. All right, so now we brought our prayers unto God. We brought our grievances unto the Lord. Now it's time we start singing about our God. It's time we start praising him now. We may not be out, but the doors are about to open now. It's time to get to a place where we get our ugly praise back. We get our ugly shout back. We get our, come on. I don't care what it looks like, Lord, because it's yours. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. I'm going to do it anyway. Come on, break out of prison. Break out. Come on! Break out! There's a prison guard! He's waiting on you! There's a prison guard who's in despair! They're watching you! flesh. The time is now. Come on, ladies of God. We've got to get to a place. We don't care what our hair looks like. We don't care that we're prim and proper. I don't care. You've got to give that shake. Shake it out and get it out of your life. Get the cobwebs out of your praise. Come on, you don't need music. This is music. It's music to heaven.